is challenging in our world today. But being a Christian father is to be applauded. Because you're not only fighting against the world and dealing with your own stuff, you're trying to maintain that focus of what it's all about and where we're going. And I know as a dad, as a husband, and especially those with little people, it's a challenge. And I applaud you, I respect you, and one day you will start sleeping again if you're in that frame, and it's not going to be that way forever. But it's good for us to be together this morning. And again, as Matt shared earlier, it's so cool to be in the East County. You know, I was telling Sari the other day, just this is kind of a dream come true in a way. To be able to serve and be with the people that have helped you, that watched you grow up, that supported your wedding day and was there for your kids' births and watch just every aspect of life. It just fills me with joy. You know, when I think about my family, I can't think about them separate from the church and the many friends who not only do they know their kids who have just been entangled in our lives. And we're just eternally grateful to be a part of this church, to be a part of this ministry, to be a part of this family. And again, I just can't thank you enough for your love and your support. And my attitude is, man, I want to give everything I got. And when it's gone, poof, I'm gone. But again, if you're visiting, I want to welcome you to the Garden State Church, where we're trying to plant Christ in our community. I want to thank the Barahona boys, men, taking us to the cross and sharing this morning. I want to thank our ushers. I want to thank the ushers. I want to thank the AV team, the count team, and all who helped to prepare for today. You know, I want to say a special thanks to my wife, who, you know, put together the little gift. Now, guys, I'm a practical guy, so socks get me fired up. So if you don't like your gift, you could give it to me, and I'll gladly take it. But they thought about, what do we need? What do we, you know? So enjoy your gift. And thank you, Sari and Serena, for coming up with that great idea. Because, you know, we want to, you know, use the things that we get. So before we jump into the message this morning, I want to give you a little quiz. You know, today's Father's Day, and I've entitled the message this morning, Who's Your Daddy? Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, well, wait a minute. Where did that come from? Well, you know, Hall of Fame pitcher Pedro Martinez in 2004, he was getting pummeled by the Yankees. And he was humble enough to say, basically, the Yankees are my daddy because they own me. And in the two games they played, the Yankees hit like 27 runs and shot his ERA up to like 9 point something. But it's very interesting that he just accepted the fact that they had his number and he was humble about it. Well, that year in the playoffs, the Yankees were up 3-0 and the Red Sox kept persevering and playing hard and came back and did something historically, that's never been done before. Okay, we got one Red Sox fan. And they came back And they beat the Yankees and went on to win the World Series after like 90 years. But you know, who's your daddy was this phrase that when Pedro would come up to pitch, the whole stadium would go, "Who's your daddy?" You know, and it just stuck. Because that meant we own you. We got your number. We got you. So I'm going to put up some pictures here. And I want you to tell me, who's the daddy in this picture? All right. Okay. Who's that? Tom Hanks. What's his son's name? Colin. Okay. Next. Ice Cube. That's right. His son, O'Shea Jackson. All right. Who's that? What's his son's name? Enrique. That's right. We got some smart folk up in here. Who's that? Bob Marley. What's his son's name? Ziggy Marley. That's right. All right. Okay, I think I'm going to get you on this one. Who's that? Billy Ray Cyrus and his famous daughter, Millie, right? Oh, I thought it was Millie. Last one. And I bet you didn't know this one. Who's that? What's his daughter's name? That's right. I didn't know that. And I was like, wait, she played in The Office. She was in The Office for a little bit there. Parks and Recreation. Amen. Who's your daddy? Is the title of the message this morning. You know, our identity as Christians come from who our daddy is. Come from who our father is. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus came to give us the right to become children of God, and now we can be called sons and daughters of God. I got 2 points this morning that I want to bring to your mind. And the first point is this. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And that's where we're going to start. Romans chapter 8. Let's read together in verse 1. Now you got to pay attention. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You know, it's so encouraging, church, when you hear reminders or you hear promises that you have in Christ. Because sometimes you forget actually what you have because you're so fixated on what you don't have or what somebody else has that you forget what you have. I want to remind us of something. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What does that mean? With my life ended today, I'm looking forward to spending eternity with my God because I've been saved by grace. I've been washed in the blood of Christ. I'm not fearful of seeing God. I'm not fearful about what's going to happen because I haven't gotten kind of my right relationship with God on straight. There's no fear because there's no condemnation. There's no judgment for those that are in Christ. Well, what else does it say here? He set us free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? That means your sin doesn't rule you anymore. Sure, you got issues. Sure, you got challenges. But sin's not in control. No temptation has seized us except what's common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you or I be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when we're tempted, he will provide a way out so we can stand up under it. That's another reminder. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. You also got the Spirit. And it gives life to you, to your physical body. I remember when my wife became a Christian, she got younger at 20. My first time at church, Juanita Safle comes up to me, and Sari was with me. I had my LL Cool J hat on and some kind of shirt with jeans. And she introduces, you know, she's like, and who is this? And she thought Sari was like my mom or something. She had her hat on. She had her, you know, because, you know, she grew up with that kind of hat and stuff going to church. Three months later, she got baptized, and she got younger, literally. The Spirit changes us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. In verse 12, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, Hebrews 8, verse 12, let's read this together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Wow. It's unreal. The promises and the things that God has given us. You know, sometimes in Christ, we can become dull. We can become unenthusiastic about who we are, about what we have. And sometimes we can just flat forget that we've even been washed by the blood of Christ. You know, I want to show you a clip that paints kind of a picture of why God hasn't changed from the day that you made him Lord of your life. And the way he felt about you that day is how he feels about you right now. I want you to watch this. Here we go. Now, we're going to pause. I'm sorry. So here's what happened. This is a movie called Gifted. This little girl is in a court battle situation, a custody issue. Her father didn't want to have anything to do with her. He lived 2 miles away from her, and she just found out this reality that dad was 2 years away, 2 miles away from her, and he never came to visit her. He never came to get her. He didn't want to have anything to do with her. And so she just finds out this news, and she's terribly disturbed that her daddy didn't want her. And so her uncle had this great idea. He says, I want you to understand what it was like when you were born. Okay? So let's watch this. Okay, we're going to try it again.
It's a boy. That's exactly how it was when you were born.
This happy?
This happy.
We came out and told everybody.
I did.
Remember who you are in God's eyes. Do not let the world around us, the world around you, ever make you forget who you are in God's eyes. You guys remember this scripture? In Luke 15, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Remember how he feels about you. Regardless of what other people say, even regardless of what you tell yourself sometimes, remember who you are. Chosen. Light of the world. Sanctified. Justified. Blessed. City on a hill. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is my daughter whom I love. With her I am well pleased. Do you think about yourself that way? Because that's the reality. Boy, that joy that you've seen in that little clip is how God feels about you. Even when you blow it. In Christ, you know, it's funny. It's almost unbelievable. But, you know, I've been doing some studying recently, and it's helping me understand something about God's grace. God chose Abraham. You guys all remember him, right? Was he perfect? Wasn't he lying? Didn't he actually tell and give his wife to some other man because he was afraid? That's pretty cowardly. That was still God's man. What about David? Wasn't he God's man? David did the unthinkable. He broke all 10 commandments. He literally set a guy up and had him murdered, one of his boys. Did that stop God from saying, man after God's own heart? See, we have a thinking as Westerners, American, I don't know. But doggone it, if you do that, then you're less of this or that. If you do this, well, then you can't do that. That is not how God is. I have to keep understanding that myself. Sometimes as an athlete, as somebody that's grown up all into winning or do this or do that, I got to always remember before I ever started, God felt that way about me. And when you came out of that water, when you got dried off, when you got your sins forgiven, he hasn't stopped feeling that way about you. Boy, have we gotten off track at points. Absolutely. But he and his love never, ever changes. Remember who you are. Because, church, we got to have that deep down inside of us. Because when bad things happen, challenges with our health, challenges with health or situations around us, we got to remember not only who we are, but we got to remember who he is. He's not making it hard on us. Yeah, sometimes we get disciplined, but God is always for us. And he may be trying to shape something or mold something in you, or he may be trying to get something out of you so that you can become more and more like Christ. Are you with me, church? You know, God loves us, and that joy, that excitement, it never fades and it never diminishes. And it's definitely not about our performance. In Christ, it's not about our obedience and our sacrifice and our consistency. And I did this, or I've never done that. That's not what it's about. The only thing that we can be confident in is who our Father is. And who is he? He's one that loves us. He is love. He defines love. And he wants us to not only accept and embrace it, he wants us to extend that everywhere we go. He wants us to be little Jesuses. You know, the other part about what we need to remember is that we're heirs with Christ. What a glorious image. Even though we're adopted into the family, we've become co-heirs with the one and only Son, Jesus. That we're inheriting what he's got prepared for us. And it's important, church, that we remember these things. It's important that we teach our children about these things, about this future that's prepared for them. But even more than that, what about the people around us who doesn't even think that God exists? Because they've been confused or they've been told something differently. Remember who you are. We are to live as sons of the King. Amen? Secondly, how... How do we become sons of the King? John 14, let's read that for a moment. John 14, verse 6 and 7. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You know, Jesus keeps telling us, hey, I'm the way. You want to get to God? Come through me. You know, he's making a huge statement because not everybody believes that he's the way. Paul went on to say that it's through Christ that we're saved. Well, you stand up and say that today in our world, and some people are going to have a major problem with that. Because they don't think that Jesus is who he says he is. But yet Jesus said it. You know, a few weeks ago, we witnessed an incredible event. We saw, Jency Cook be baptized into Christ by her husband, right? We saw that. Okay, I want us to see it again for a minute. All right?
Thank you.
You know, I love that video because Sari came to the rescue. But we witnessed something. We witnessed the power of God. We witnessed God changing Rob's heart. Jency wrote a prayer, and God changed his heart. And then he changing his heart, he turns around, and then he baptizes his wife, and God had answered her prayers. You know, it's interesting. In our world today, some people say you don't need to be baptized to become a Christian. I want you to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. How do I become a child or a daughter of the Son of God? Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's read this together. Colossians 2, verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts 2, 38. And it reads, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." You know, sometimes because of a ignorance and understanding baptism, people say, well, you don't need to do that. But you know, you read the scriptures, it's very important. Because what you're doing is not a work, it's actually an act of faith. Here's what God says. Repent and be baptized. That day, the church begins in Acts 2. 3,000 people hear the message. They believe it. They say, hey, I need to get baptized. They go to the sea or the beach or wherever they were. And 3,000 that day. What happens when someone gets baptized? What they're doing is they're putting their faith that God is going to do something to them. Not just getting wet, but they're also, according to Romans 5, going to participate in what Jesus did. They're going to be buried with Christ, okay? They're going to die to themselves, be buried with Christ, and then raised to a new life. When Jency got baptized, she was allowing God to work. He's going to cut away this sinful nature. When she gets baptized in the water, he's going to give her the Holy Spirit that now puts a deposit on her. She's going to be added to the church, and then she's going to continue to grow and mature. That's why baptism is important. I mean, the Bible says it. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Let's read together. Verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. Are you with me there? In baptism, we get to be clothed with Christ. We get our sins washed away. We get added to the kingdom. That's what we witnessed right there. You don't join the church. If you're visiting, I'm sorry, we don't have like membership. You just come up and say, hey, I want to be a part of the church. No, we sit down and we study the Bible so you can understand what you are becoming a part of. But this is what God does. This is what he does. And it's so exciting. You know, for those that don't know, you know, Rob reached out to me at NJIT about 29 years ago. And I had no clue what I was getting into. In fact, I remember that night when these brothers came to my dorm, and I told them, you know, I don't really want to study tonight. I got a test. But this one brother, this persistent brother, Mario DePin, do not quit, do not refuse to lose. He said, whoa, 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 whoa. And he tipped his glasses, you know, Mario. And we sat down and read the Bible. And it was real clear to me where I was at. And you know, when something's clear to you with where you're at, the only option you have is either do something about it or stay where you are. I didn't want to stay where I was at because it was a scary place. And I remember that night, 1:30 in the morning, Stegman House getting baptized into Christ at 1:30 in the morning. And it was like, wow, what in the world did I just do? Well, I did what the Bible said. And you know, that's been a really good decision. How do we become children of God? Well, we just simply need to hear what he says, and we need to obey what he says. And he's going to do the rest. To think that God cuts away the power of our sinful nature, to think that God gives us something that helps us to actually follow through and obey what he says and continue to grow and mature is faith. It's all about faith. It's all about, am I going to trust him? Guess what? God wants us to remember who he is. God's love. He's the creator. He's the almighty. He's the alpha. He's the omega. He is our father. But he also wants to remember, he wants us to remember who we are. Don't let Satan's lies permeate throughout your mind. Don't let the past define you or somebody else's opinion about you define you. Don't let your sin define you, because you're not your sin. That's something we do and mess up from time to time, or maybe all the time. But we get to start over because of the blood of Christ. You know, if you're a disciple, I want to encourage you to remember something. God is wildly and jealously in love with you. And he looks forward to spending all eternity with you. You know, lastly, how do I become a child of God? Well, look at what Rob and Jency did. You know, they turned to the Lord and decided to repent and be baptized. The cooks illustrated how to get right with God. You know, sometimes we got to just humble ourselves and stop thinking about, well, what are people going to think if I come back here and I do this and I do? Hey, just humble out and decide, I want to do it God's way. If you're unsure, you're confused about your relationship with God, you know what? That's actually a good thing. Because now if you ask some questions and you look at God's word, he's going to give you answers. He wants to show you the way through his word. He wants to answer your question. Who's your daddy? God says, I am. Happy Father's Day, and to God be the glory. Amen. I want to ask all the singers to come on up. We're going to sing one last song. and we're going to be dismissed.